Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is episode 29, in which we'll be talking about episode 29 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Tragedy in Jaburo, in which we're back for round, what, like five now on us loving and losing on this wild train? Anyway, moe agare, and take it away.
You're not ashamed of that.
Not in the least. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two intrepid interrupters, Fuzzy, that's me, and why am I doing the whole intro right now? I record intros at a separate time than the episode.
We've done like a million episodes, and I still don't remember the actual format.
At this point, I don't think... It's like the ABCs. Like, I don't know the alphabet. I know the song for the alphabet. I know.
I can pick up from certain points. Like, I can start from element OP, and I can start from QRS, yeah. Or start at the beginning of ABC. But like, if I had to put something in alphabetical order, I'm going from the beginning until I get to the element OPs, and then I'll go from element OPs to remind myself until I get to the QRSs.
Yeah, that is how the intro is packaged in my brain.
Unit. Hi, I'm your other intrepid co-host, Chris.
Yes.
Since Fuzzy had a crisis there.
a brief sudden, why am I doing this crisis?
I promise you, the listeners, here at minute, I don't know because I'm going to cut some of this out because we're talking about gumbo,
yeah.
But at like before minute three, I'm going to promise you this will not be a 2-hour podcast. Promise. We're staying.
Title card.
Fuzzy, we are staying. We are staying under an hour and a half today.
Okay, yeah.
We're doing this.
Luckily, this time we actually are... There's not as much to talk... Well, actually, no, there's plenty to talk about because I have a bunch of side shit about this episode.
Oh, Fuzzy, you're killing me here.
Well, no. It's actually about the episode, in my defense. And most of it, like, it happens in a while. Like, it's around the commercial break, I think, is when I will break down. It's episode 29 of both Mobile Suit Fandom and of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079. Did I say episode 79? No, 29.
I have no idea.
Episode 29.
But, this is something Jaburo.
Tragedy in Jaburo.
Tragedy in Jaburo. Yeah, that's an important word.
Yes, tragedy in Jaburo.
I'm sure it'll be fine, though.
Yeah, what's weird is that what the tragedy is, in my opinion, like where we get the tragedy from is an interesting spot this episode.
And they don't really... I don't think it pays off quite as well as they thought it was going to.
This is among my many complaints. I'll just say it at the top. The origin does this episode way better. Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna cut it out and just play it at the beginning of every episode.
Fuck. Well, I guess that is also the thing about, like, hindsight.
Yeah, they've had fucking
30 years.
Almost 40 years at this point.
Yeah.
To figure out how they want to tell the story. He's got Tomino. Tomino's not even writing it, is he? It's with the artist.
No. It's Yoshi something. Fuck.
Yeah. He has the clout now to say, this is how I'm going to tell this fucking story, and you're going to fucking listen to me, because who the fuck else is going to do this?
Yoshikazu Yasuhiko.
All right.
Yeah, Yoshikazu Yasuhiko was originally the animator on the original Mobile Suit Gundam, or one of the animation directors, and he now is doing the manga Gundam the Origin, or did. He's already done with it. And as I've said before, and will say again, motherfucker cranks out a chapter, was cranking out a chapter a week with no storyboarding. Just, bam! One pump, done. If he was a Fortnite player, he would throw up a fucking fortress in half a second. That's a reference for you kids out there, so you know.
You youths.
I'm hip with the youths. No,
good,
I'm not.
One of us has to be.
No, I'm not. I'm like so weirdly behind the times in certain spots that it's like I didn't know about Orange Kid until that emote came out in Fortnite, and then Thanos came out in Fortnite, and then Thanos was doing the Orange Kid dance in Fortnite.
If it helps, I understood the word Fortnite in that.
Did you know they put Thanos in Fortnite?
Thanos, like, from...
Yeah.
Avengers?
Yeah.
Thanos?
Yeah.
Alright. I mean, it's the biggest game in the world, right? This is a tangent! You motherfucker!
Motherfucker!
You tried to do it!
I gotcha!
God damn it!
Anyway.
Alright, so, back in the goddamn Jabaro.
Hey, remember when your waifu died last episode?
God damn it, man.
Hey, welcome to Mobile Suit Breaking Chris's Emotional Knees.
I've lost so many fucking waifus.
You have. And I know I lose a husbando today. So, hey, remember when that happened? Because the show really does.
Yeah.
This episode literally opens with her getting blasted out of the fucking side of the gun barrier.
Yeah, it's just that too long, let's say too long as in, like, I think it was perfect. Perfectly long shot. Like,
yes.
I think they hung on that for the right amount of time, yes. But it was too fucking long for my heart. shot of her drifting through the air over the goddamn ocean to her death.
Yeah, I think this time they played it a little slower too, and so
it was real. It was kind of interesting because they kind of play it like a lot of anime would play a romance scene.
Yeah.
Like, they do the it's kind of fuzzy, it's slowed down, it's the soft music.
Yep.
And except instead of ending in a smooch, it ends in the sound of Chris crying.
That's actually, I think, a pretty good take, because the whole... As she's dying, she's also very pretty as she does it. Her whole hair comes undone and, like, splays. It's a body either in space or floating in water. Like, that's kind of the image that we get. And it's not inaccurate, given the fact that she falls out into the ocean. But I also like how we got all of that as she's falling out of the plane. And it's, I think, neat visually that the death is... That cell could be placed in any of the common places that we find this show, and it makes sense in all of them. And that's neat.
Yeah. But, fuck it, because it's the worst.
Yes.
Our
narrator-san provides the... It's a little bit of a fallen forward here, as he reminds you that Chris's waifu dies, and also where Whitebase is going. They've been going across the Atlantic Ocean
to a tragedy in Jabiru.
Yes. So they get to South America. Also, hey, we're in South America now, and we know where we are.
Yeah. they mentioned, like, in this one, they mentioned California, and I was like, oh, that's a place I know.
Yeah. In this episode, I think they mentioned California because they're talking about Whitebase leaving it.
No, they're talking about it apparently California is where this new... spoiler alert, we meet a new buddy.
Mm-hmm.
A big metal buddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And apparently the big metal buddy was researched in a lab in California.
Well, all right. Quick reminder, fucking the original series never establishes where the fuck we are.
No, it's terrible.
That being said, we do get, like, The color direction is very clearly, hey boys, we in the jungle now. The water.
It
green,
ain't me.
The
It ain't me. I know. I know that's Vietnam, yes. But whatever. It's still a rainforest.
Yeah. Save all of those references for when we get to 8th MS. Because
oh,
ooh, boy.
No. am I gonna have a full on Forrest Gump attack?
Haven't you seen 8th MS team?
I've only seen Gundam Wing, remember?
Huh? I'm just trying to be like, who was that then? Anyway, 8th MS team, I remind those of you, that's Gundam Vietnam. Good OVA. It's like just 12 12 episodes of Gundam Vietnam.
Just hang out. We'll get there in like 7 years.
Ish. We cut to a bunch of submarines rising out of this very green water at the sunset. Of course, it's the Mad Angler with Char and his lads hot on White Base's trail. White Base,
yep.
We cut immediately over. Like, we just get a shot of Char who's like, oh, we're here.
They do a weird, this is a, at least especially in the English dub, there's a lot of not fucking, like, for the most part, which is what makes it strange when they do fuck around. There's a lot of rushing, trying to shove a bunch of stuff into this episode.
Yeah.
Which it makes it very strange when they, like, pause on the kids for a little bit. I guess they gotta remind you that, like, these are citizens, there's stakes here.
Yes.
But, yeah, there's a lot of, like, just quick cuts. Oh, give us information on this one. Okay, let's go to White Base, get some information. Go to Jabro, get some information. Back to Char, get more information.
Yeah. this episode tries to do a lot, and, ironically, like, in the manga, this part is just, like, one volume, all of this. Now, granted, they take up it. Jaburo as a unit kind of takes up the whole volume, but also in the manga, Jaburo encapsulates the Black Tri-Stars, Hamon dying.
Oh man, everything's out of whack.
Yeah, it's all in here. The discovery that the GM exists, them getting inducted into the military and everything. And boy, will we talk about how they introduce the GM in this, because boy, it blows.
Yeah.
We'll get...
I was to the point... Okay, yeah, I'll save it for when I get there.
Because, boy!
It's not great. So they're following White Base.
Yeah.
White Base is hovering over the Amazon. I'm assuming it's Amazon.
We're pretty sure it's the Amazon. They never actually say it. We just know we're in South America, and it's a giant fucking river that is huge. So I'm going to take a guess.
Just one single guess. So they ooh and all over this fucking Kamehameha wave of blue butterflies.
Yeah, horde descends upon White Base, picking it apart to the bones, really.
Yeah, those butterflies are on their way to fucking murder something.
Yeah.
Nothing gathers in that amount of force with good intentions.
What we don't realize is there's actually another war throughout Mobile Suit
Gundam, the Butterfly War,
where the Spacenoid butterflies are fighting the Earth Native butterflies. And the big twist here
is the Earth ones are the fascists this time.
Yes, the Earth ones are the fascists, and somehow they threw a very large rock against the colony ships of they actually threw Australia at it. Interesting
fact.
Yeah, half. It feels like it's been a while. Half. So.
Yeah, because they don't tell us anymore.
Yeah, they don't tell us anymore.
Kai is sulking out of the window.
Yes, Kai.
Because, again, he fell in love and lost the love of his life. Well, they don't say he falls in love, but I feel like that was where, like, Kai was starting to develop feelings for
this spy. That's, as far as, like, arcs go, I'm a little torn because that does not feel very earned, you know?
No, the only thing I can think about it is, like, she was introduced to his life in a very, very chaotic moment where he was finding himself, and she kind, like,
she
her and her,
helped,
her
yeah.
siblings kind of helped him realize what he wanted to be,
yeah.
I guess.
I,
So I imagine him being emotionally vulnerable when he met her could have sped that process up a bit. But yeah, I can also definitely feel like, come on, Kai.
You're an asshole. On one hand, it's very much coded like romance, but like that's not the read I had on it, if that makes sense. Like, the read I had was just like, and he does also say this a couple of times later as he's blasting Xeon fools, as like, he's really dissatisfied that like the institution of war is what led to her death.
Yeah.
And as such, like, that's at least what he's saying in the Japanese and what he's hammering home. No, and that's also kind of my read on it, of just like, man, that was a largely innocent woman that died for nothing. Like,
right.
It was an accident that happened because she launched a missile. Like, that's fucking atrocious. And that's what Kai's mad about. And, yeah. Keep note of that character trait, because it follows him forever.
Yes, I can't wait for Kai the Pacifist.
Or
anti-war.
I think you'll be real interested what he does later. Anyway,
oh no. Oh no. My boy.
It's legitimately just neat. I know I keep hinting at it, okay. But like, he fulfills a minor function in a later series, and it's pretty cool, actually.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's just this show has a habit of fucking myrtleizing the one as soon as I start to like them.
Keep in mind, Tomino wanted to, if Tomino had his original vision, as far as I'm aware, fucking Tomino at me if this is wrong, as far as I'm aware, if Tomino had gotten his way, all of this entire cast would be dead by now.
Yeah.
They should have died at episode 21. Was when they were all supposed to die. So they did.
Dig dang. Dig dang damn.
So
Kai sulks. Sayla notices.
Amuro gets a bad vibe. Bright is like, yo, everyone watch out. And
I think this is where we get one of the weird... Okay, in the English dub, this is very strange.
Uh-huh.
And the line delivery was very... It was, like, the worst. Because Bright looks over at Amuro, because Amuro's got a constipated look on his face, and he says, is everything all right? And before he can get the t out of right... And
Amuro's responding.
Amuro... Yeah, Amuro's responding. And he doesn't say... He responds very blandly.
Huh.
And then, like... Yeah, like... Yeah, everything. He says yeah or something. Or it's like, is something wrong? And he says no. Then Bright's like, high alert.
in the Japanese, and I'll admit I like missed half of this line because I looked away. But Amuro says something more along the lines of, it's nothing, but I have a feeling. Like, but it shouldn't be anything, and Bright takes that as, I got a bad vibe, everyone pay attention.
Yeah.
But then we see what Jabiro's big shtick is, and that is, it's hidden.
It's underground.
Yeah, Jabiro slides an entire chunk of the Amazon rainforest to the side, big
enough
for...
Over the Amazon River.
Yeah. And lowers, White Base lowers into Jabiro.
Yeah, big enough... For White Base.
Yes.
To fit in. Also, like, it shows a bird panicking. No, it shows a monkey.
Yes.
A very angry monkey. At the idea that the jungle is moving beneath him. But, they show a lot of animals in this show. And, like, I can't help but imagine, like, someone in Jabiro's job is to, like, clean up all the animals that fell down when they did that.
Yeah.
It's gotta be. Because some animal fucking ate it.
Yep.
And fell in there.
Yep. Yeah, there's probably like a few monkeys loose in fucking White
just
Base.
In Jabber.
Oh yeah, in Jabber. Probably in White Base now too.
Oh yeah, they're hanging out with the childrens.
Yes, in the ammo mines. So, White Base descends into Jabero proper, and Char, who's paying attention to his radar, I didn't mean to rhyme that on purpose. He notices White Base vanish and goes, that's where Jabiro at.
So, really, okay. Real talk.
Yeah.
The white base should never land anywhere.
Absolutely. The white base should not land.
There's always someone following them.
Yes.
They know it.
Yes.
They should know this by now.
Yes.
Hey, have we been attacked? No, someone's following us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really understand why they thought they evaded everyone after they beat Boone in the Atlantic Ocean.
Also, like, Char caught up with them.
And he was in North Africa at the time.
Yeah. And, like, they're a spaceship that's not aerodynamic. So I imagine they're having to go pretty
slow.
Fast to stay slow?
I don't know. Thinking, like, I think...
How do you stay aloft?
It's clearly not aerodynamics. Like, speed will have nothing to do with it. It's clearly just magic engines that can lift up that much bullshit.
But they're still moving through air,
yes,
which offers much less resistance than water, which is... Oh, I just hit my shit. Offers much less resistance than water, which is what Char is moving through, and he still catches up to them.
Maybe it's like... Maybe I'm talking out my ass here, but like maybe if you go to the bottom of the ocean where we know the Mad Angler goes, because that's the first time we see it, it's like half buried in the sand practically. Maybe like it's less distance because it's the bottom of the ocean, and so there's less space to go. Because you know how running on the inside track of a track is faster than the outside track? Well, maybe it's one. I'm talking out my ass. And just like it's science. I mean,
it's a better explanation than they give us.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: is they're also not following their own fucking rules. So they blew up Boone and all the fuckers that were following them.
Yes.
So and I guess maybe like they did some telemetry, some trajectory
bullshit,
fucking bullshit, maybe. And Whitebase just never fucking course corrected and just maintained course the entire fucking time. But like
they were right, they got it in one. They
said
Mirai does not make mistakes. She gets it in one. Mirai lifts the ship up, aims it once, pushes forward, and doesn't touch it the rest of the time because she's that good.
Okay, fine.
No, but you're right. It's weird that Char manages to catch up and then witness this and
and also just find them. Well, like I understand if you get close enough, like radar will
I break have an through answer. Some I have Minofskis. A legitimate answer.
Oh. Oh shit. Oh shit, son.
New type bullshit.
Oh god damn it. Okay.
Psychic bullshit. Well, okay.
Yeah,
this is entirely a fan theory now. But it feels like we meet all of the new types within the show and like as protagonists or antagonists. So I think being a new type works kind of like being a stand user in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Hear me out.
No, that's a tangent.
Hear me out.
No,
we're boom back. It's just that they're attracted to each other. They naturally, fate seems to bring them together. And that's my theory. That's it. That's the whole theory.
Y'all saw me try. You all saw me try to save you from this tangent.
That's, okay, so, Jaburo, some people in Jaburo greet Bright. We meet a very square-jawed man who seems somewhat in charge, named Lieutenant Commander Woody.
Which is a very prestigious name. Howdy.
Yeah, he has a snake in his boot, and you have a friend in him. But, so we meet Lieutenant Commander Woody. Bright greets him, and Woody's like, hi, White Base, I'm Woody, we're here to take care of you. Do you have a guy named Amuro?
Yeah. He says, in the English, he says, hi, it's nice to meet you. I've been interested in meeting a young man named Amuro for a while now. And Bright's like, yeah, I can get him. And this turns a little bit and says, Amuro, get the fuck over here.
It almost it's like, it feels like a very trashy dad moment.
Yeah, Amuro! Like,
oh, you need to
see me a beer!
Yeah. Amuro, get over here, bring a beer. And so Amuro does.
I'm gonna show you my boy!
This is my boy! ever since God of War came out, it's just infected me, and I don't own a PS4. So, I just watched it. So, Woody gets introduced to Amuro, and Woody's immediate reaction is, holy fuck, you're young. Oh my god.
Holy shit. Amuro's
like, hi, who are you? And he's like, oh, I knew Matilda, and we hard cut away.
Matilda told me a lot about you. Yeah.
We go to Char.
So Char meets a new boy, a new big metal boy.
Did I give this action? Well, hold on. Did I give this action figure? No, I'm not going to get up and search through my toy box.
Please don't.
I was about to sprint. I forget if I gave Sid this action figure or not, because I know I own a Zock.
So it's a Zock, which is a pointy Zagok with a nipple on its head.
I see where you're getting that from. I think he has more to do with the Gog line, honestly.
Right. Okay, so let's go through here real quick, though. Let's go Zaku.
Yep.
Zaku 2.
Yep.
Okay, fine. Cool. That's an iteration on the last one. Zaku 2. It's a very clear lineage there.
Yes.
Then we find a goof.
Yes.
Which is Zaku-like. We can see that it's still
very clearly in the line.
If they had called it Zaku 3, I wouldn't have batted an eye.
Right.
Okay, and then we get a Dom, which is kind of like, you know, the Zaku and Goof's, like, sexy cousin, right?
Yeah, yeah. You still see the design elements, but overall, it's gone a new direction, because it's for a very different purpose.
Okay, then we hard break.
Gog.
Okay, Gog's whatever. Gog's a fucking claw underwater.
Yeah, the mole man. He's a mole man.
Yeah, it's a mole man. Gog, Zagok.
Yep.
These are related. These are two related vehicles.
Yes.
Gog, Zagok.
Yes.
Zok.
Yep.
How is this not fucking... Gog 1, Gog 2, Gog 3, you motherfuckers!
Well, in this guy's naming Zeon's shit's defense, I think, because you'll notice a lot of, like, you got Zok and Zagok, and, like,
well... Also, they should have done that backwards. It should have been...
Yeah, and then the fucking next
Gog,
one is
Zok,
AC
Zagok.
Guy, Ak Guy. What?
Ak guy!
That's the next aquatic suit we meet. So, like, what the fuck? Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Guy at the end of
it. Someday when I get access to fucking After Effects and Premiere and shit, I will totally be making this video essay about the lineage of fucking designs in Gundam. Today's not that day.
No.
Because I have thoughts. And evidence.
Okay, tell me your thoughts. Thoughts and evidence for the... This is for the thing.
Yes, for the other thing. Back to this boy. We meet the Zok. He's big, he's blue, he's got yellow claws, he shoots missiles from every orifice, and every missile orifice...
The special thing is he jumps big.
Yes, he jumped big. Let me tell you, in the game, he also plays weird because he has the weird headbutt attack that seemingly every... water suit has. It's just he can do his anywhere. It's funka-fucking-delic, let me tell you.
I'll be honest, I don't know the difference between a Gog and a Zagok, really.
But the Zagok's the blue boy with no head, and the Gog is the mole man.
Yeah, I know, but like, functionally... What does the Zagok have that the Gog doesn't?
The Zagok is faster and less heavily armored.
Yeah, but you can do that by painting it red. You don't have to make a whole new Gundam.
Which, interestingly... as Char is getting introduced to the Zok, we also get, like, shots of something hanging up nearby. And it's... Like, you can tell it's a Zagok painted red, and that we're getting that payoff now. But, like, they do beat around the bush and fucking cocktease you like that quite a bit, and it's pretty tasty, actually.
Because, like all conventional storytelling tells you, Char gets in the Zok.
Yes.
He does not, though, because it's not the right fucking color.
It's not only the, not the right color, but in general, Char's suits follow a pattern, except for one, and we will talk about him. It's actually the one I gave Sid, the Zong, the guy with the skirt and no legs. That one fucking... I tell you what.
What?
Char gets in that, and he shouldn't have. Anyway. that is for literally the last episode.
So, the Zok and two Gogs are gonna go be, like, an advance force.
Yes.
A scout force, as the Mad Angler gets into position, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is that the situation?
Yeah, basically. So, the Zok, with its big hops and its two Gogs, jump in, swim up the Amazon, and we cut back to White Base and find out that Amuro just finished having his balls fondled by the,
for a very long time.
For a very long... And it was just the balls.
Yeah. They measured his balls' brainwaves.
Yes.
And scanned the head of his penis. with a CAT scan.
Interestingly, his balls are smarter than the rest of him.
he laments how long that took. He just says, "Man, these suck." And Hayato is like,
"You were in, man, there, you were
there for a long time. Yeah. Are you dead? Are you dying?"
Yeah, which pay attention to. There's a reason this happened. It's psychic bullshit.
Yeah, no, because they even said, he's like, "Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. They scanned my head and shit."
Yeah,
did that happen to y'all too?
Of course, in the origin, like, you know, it's for Gundam fans, so we actually get, like, a little bit more on... Amuro at this stage in the origin is actually briefed on the concept of new types.
Oh, shit, sir.
And so they actually tell him outright already, fulfilling that one thing we keep saying would fix most things, tell Amuro! Tell Amuro! And he goes, "Oh, interesting, that sounds weird, but I'll keep an eye out for it." Whereas here, they don't tell him shit. And that's really it. And pretty much every decision after this point of him not, I don't know, sitting around and meditating a lot to develop his magic powers!
Well, regardless, Kai doesn't want to hear anything about how special Amuro is. He walks away saying he is peak physical performance and physical mentally sound
condition. This is peak performance.
Fuck that! I know you just sit around eating fucking Doritos when you're not working, Kai. Look at you. You're a fucking. You have a nerd body.
He does have a skinny nerd body. Which is so wild that, like, especially this episode, that fucking. He's an ace pilot. Ace mecha pilot.
Yep.
And he's a skinny nerd. If that's not a fucking, like, you too can be hot shit, I don't know what is. develop your skills, kids. And you too can
practice.
Be a giant robot pilot.
So, Sayla and Mirai and Fra are fucking around with the kids who are running around because they don't want to get inspect. This is one of those things where they like waste. I don't know why they had this in here when they're trying to cram stuff in other scenes.
Yeah,
because all it is like a doctor they had to character concept pops in and says, "Oh, you don't like." Well, the girl's
screaming,
"You've
got no cavities.
You don't have any cavities." And she's like, "Oh shit, I fell for it."
Yep, that's the whole scene. We cut back to Woody. And Amuro shows up as Woody's eating lunch. Amuro kind of politely shoots the shit for a second before finally getting to the point and asking how Woody knew Matilda. Because apparently their earlier conversations stopped when the scene did.
Yeah. Look, when we're not watching them, nothing happens.
if you take your eyes off a character... They just stare at nothing T-pose.
Why are they T-posing?
It's animation. Fuck you is why. To assert dominance.
Look, I'm in control here. I need to tell. I need to teach these fucking characters who's boss. I can make them T-pose when I fucking want. Yep.
Fucking Tomino, 1978. So Amaro asks, and Woody goes, "Well, we were planning to get married."
After
specifically, he mentioned, "Well, after Odessa Day, she and I planned on she told me that she was going to invite all of you to our wedding." That's the way he phrases it.
Which wouldn't be awkward. Just invite a bunch of horny teenagers who had massive boners for your fiancé to your wedding.
I mean, it is a power move.
Yeah, she's like...
like, yeah, I caught this first, fuckers.
No, I was going with the other side where Matilda, like, grabs him by the fucking lapel during the I do's and says, "Look out at there. Look out at all these fucking dicks out here. I could have any one of these dicks I want. You. Don't fuck with me."
You're on thin fucking ice. Well, you hear me out.
Watch yourself, Woody.
Woody's a nickname.
Oh.
He has the good peen. Anyway, so.
Almost Digimon Zombie levels.
I mean, Digimon Zombie, I mean, his dick's the size of Luna, too. We don't address it. Woody?
Yeah.
Close second.
It's acceptable.
Only the size of Lower Manhattan. But.
I'm just saying he has a pretty solid career if he ever stops wanting to be in the military.
Now, hear me out. Like, something I feel like people... We address big dick energy and small dick energy a lot. I don't think we address, much like seeing a samurai who's clearly experienced and you get that sense of, like, that man knows how to use that sword. That, except penises. I don't think we address knowing how to use the dick energy as much as we should, and Woody definitely has that. Woody has usable dick energy.
I think conceptually big dick energy is that. From what I understand, you don't even have to have a dick to have big dick energy.
Right.
Rihanna being the number one
yes.
Example of that. But, yeah, Woody has Woody energy.
Woody has some stiff energy. So
he's very confident, and he's also kind of charming and nice.
Very forward-facing. Stands up real straight. Boner joke, boner joke, boner joke. Boner joke. No, but he is actually legitimately nice and very honorable.
Yeah, no, he's a very good kid.
Yes.
I can't even be jealous of him about to marry my waifu and let it be his waifu, because I'm like, all right, I get it. He's very nice, and he's got Manhattan dick.
Yes.
I mean, I can't compete.
Amuro hears this. I'm trying to prevent you from talking too much about the specifics of your penis. So
I'm not drunk.
So, fuck, where was my train of thought? There it is.
Amuro puts his fucking foot in his mouth and is like, "I'm sorry, it was my fault she died. I couldn't save her."
Well, first we get a still image that he considers of this hypothetical wedding scene.
Oh,
and then he remembers her death in excruciating red filter detail. And it's a red filter, which means it's a tragic memory and not a psychic vision.
Which is purple, I believe.
Which is purple.
Right.
So,
and it's yellow if it's intuition.
Yes.
Okay.
So...
We're getting this out. We're figuring it out, okay?
It's like orc color theory at this point. So, look at my other podcast that I need to... So, fucking Amuro considers this hypothetical, remembers the painful death, and then puts his foot in his mouth, is like, "I'm sorry." I forget the way he precisely phrases it, but it essentially boils down to, "I blame myself for her death, and I should have done better." And Woody, and this scene is good in every way I've seen it, because this is a good scene. Woody verbally smacks him down. Very good father figure, this one. Good dad dick energy. So... I tried, and that's what's important. No, sometimes you shouldn't try. kids. Sometimes quit. Just sometimes quit. It's fine. Sometimes just quit. So...
Yeah, he says, it wasn't up to you to save Matilda's life. You did your best. Like, it's fucking war.
Yeah.
Things happen. She knew what she was doing. If she died protecting you, that's, like, that was her fucking choice, okay?
And it's... I like it, I like the scene a lot because, both, I don't know about the English actor, but the Japanese actor and how I read this scene in the manga and all this jazz, makes me feel a lot like, Woody's not angry with Amuro in any way, no. shape, or form, but he's really frustrated that Amuro would, yeah. like, deign to think this way.
He definitely wants to drive the point home, like, Amuro, you cannot think like that. That's not a thing. That's not helpful.
Yes.
It's not true, and it's going to cause more problems.
Yeah. I will contend at this stage now that if Woody lived through the series...
He's fine. He'll be fine.
Sure.
They wouldn't kill him in the first episode we meet him.
Right. If Woody stuck around for until all the way until Char's counterattack, I'd bet like $5 solid that Amuro would be in way better shape by that point. Like, yeah. Boy needs a strong Woody, male role model that isn't balding and a middle management motherfucker.
Honestly, like, if you could put Woody on Whitebase, I think everybody would be a lot better off.
Yeah, especially the fucking engineer crew.
Yeah.
God. It in the manga, they go into it a little bit more, too, of, like, they really hammer home that Woody is fucking good at what he does, and that...
Yeah.
He also mentions, at the end of this monologue, that it not only was it not up to Amuro to save her life... it's now up to everyone who knew her to keep her memory alive.
Right.
And Woody intends on doing this by fixing and saving the ship that she herself saved.
Right.
And A,
fucking beautiful.
B.
Yeah.
Of course, Woody heavily implies, like, you can do that too, and that will bring us forward. In the manga, during this scene, too, like, we get a little bit of the ethos, too, of, like, yeah, Woody, really fucking good at what he does. Yeah. Like, top engineer. And able, like, everything Matilda is good at, he's also good at. So if you get him, like...
Power couple.
Yeah, if you get... God, I don't want to... Like, you could have brought... a Zaku 2 back in fucking individual pieces that half of them were broken, and by the end of the day, Matilda and Woody could have rebuilt the entire fucking thing. That's how good they were.
And had sex twice.
And had sex twice. Do you think they're efficient about it, or... No.
They're very professional. Like, there's time for, like, more in-depth situations on their own time. While they're building Zaku 2s, it's efficiency.
five-minute break, and they both leave very satisfied. and they manage to make tea while doing it, too. So...
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they're fucking multitaskers, but still know how to get the job done. Man, we've talked about Woody fucking a lot. So
look, it has been a long time since Mobile Suit Fandom got horny. So here we go. Fuck off.
All we need is one dude with a boner joke. So we cut outside to the Zoc, who it's actually kind of funny how he finds this, because he pops up and looks around and, like, looks at his radar thing and then looks back out. And we get this slow pan across the shoreline until he spots where the shore breaks in, like, a very man-made cut. And he's just like, It's funny because the audio does not match the visual. The audio says, I would never have found this if not for some kind of a mission. the visual says, motherfucker, if anyone came along the shore, we would see this. Are you nuts? Very good.
This is where we get to Mariah and Bright being in the chambers getting their orders, right?
Yes.
Which I thought was, I was very happy to see I understand, like, she acted as captain, not captain, but like commanding officer, yeah, while he was sick. But I like the,
she's second in command now.
There's like tangible evidence that she is on command track now.
Yeah.
Because it's just her and Bright getting orders.
Yep.
From like fat council member man, and they're like, there's a guy to his right, our left,
yeah,
with a misshapen toe for a head, some sort of weird strange potato.
He looks like an angry bean sprout.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, this show does not like to animate faces that aren't actively talking.
Yeah,
and they animate him twitching.
Yeah.
Just back there in the background, like his head just shaking like those fucking little rattle heads from Princess Mononoke. what the fuck is going on with that guy? We also, we find out they're going to join up with, fuck, I forgot the name of the Tiananmen Squadron or whatever. Yes. So we find out, like, because I was confused why the fuck they were, like, until now it seemed like they were going from a dry dock to another dry dock.
Yeah.
Like, we got some repairs, so let's drive and go get some more repairs.
Yeah, a little bit. It does kind of feel like this is White Base, the quest for someone to fix my fucking car.
It's the quest for, we need salt, we need ammo for the ammo mines, yeah. More people, because ours keep dying, you don't replace them.
Yeah. We have a lot of dead off-screen characters. Yeah, so they're in there. They're told to head north and kick Z on ass, essentially, and join up with that squadron a little bit forward.
Yeah.
The general also mentions something odd about not getting penalized?
I have no idea.
I don't either, because of Mirai's father.
Right, who appears to be some sort of politician,
yeah,
that was assassinated or something.
Yeah.
And it forced Mariah to move to Side 7.
Yes.
But the only explanation I can find here is, like, when we were back in Ireland, and you were talking about how, like, technically they fucking stole White Base, and I got upset because, like, what the fuck did they want?
Yeah.
if they had not stolen... White Base, Zeon would have White Base, and Gundam, you fucking fuck.
If nothing else, we finally have put a cap in it by having literal high command go, we good.
We're good.
So we should hopefully never hear of this plot thread again.
Hopefully. How shitty would that be, though?
God, like, it'd just be you annoying. You
steal White Base, and you've been fighting your fucking ass off watching your goddamn friends die.
Time to go to jail.
For 30 fucking episodes.
Yeah, time to go to jail. You finally get
the ship. You've just been trying to... Yes. That would be terrible. Like, we've been trying to get this thing back to you since we took it.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't take it from us.
Yeah.
You kept telling us to keep going.
Yeah. Literally, we tried. We tried.
The only reason Miranda knew about us is because we were like, come take this.
Yeah.
Help. We're children.
Yeah.
Mirai
is like, I don't want to talk about it. And then the attack bell rings, where it's like, oh shit, we're under attack. The general just kind of assumes it's a patrol, but he does tell Bright to get White Base's crew on alert just in case. We smash cut to Char and his second in command, whose name I've long since forgotten, but it will still remain Grobslor.
Grobslor.
He's talking to
Grobslor. He's like Pokemon.
Yeah, he's talking. Oh! One more time.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Char is talking to Grobslor.
Perfect.
Among some others. Grobslor is apologizing for not having more fighters and, like, a bigger force. Which, let me tell you, so he apologizes, like, I couldn't bring more guys. And he's like, it's fine. Char is... now we get more Char Zagok things as it hangs by ominously. And then we cut to the fighting force as it is flying in towards Jaburo. And it is not one, not two, but eight Gaw Bombers. You know, the thing that an arc villain had as his main base.
I believe this is the flying eggplant,
right? The flying eggplant, the Gaw, with three...
Which was a major threat early on in the season by itself.
With each one is escorted by three planes. I forget what the planes are called. Three of the Zeon planes each, as well as... the Zok and two Gogs down in the water already, and Char Zagok and two more Zagoks.
That's not all. They have Zaku 2s, they have Goofs.
We don't know this yet. At this stage, we just see the bombers. But yeah, later on, to just keep addressing, why are you apologizing? There is...
Fuck the fighters.
Yeah, there is... Three each. It's three Goofs, three Doms, and I think like 6 to 9 Zakus. Plus the Zagok also, team. Like,
I want to point out, like, last time we saw Char, they would give him his Red Comet and two Zaku 2s.
Yeah.
And anytime he killed those two Zaku 2s, they would
give him two more
Zaku 2s. And then he failed his mission and got someone murdered. Well, not really. It wasn't his fault. Well, it was his fault. Fuck yeah.
It was literally his fault, but no one could prove it and no one knew it. And
right. And so now they just trust him with a huge
battalion.
There's so many.
Like, if I remember correctly, like an armored platoon has three tanks.
I don't know, man. It's crazy. I was saying, like, except for Odessa Day, but the thing is, we didn't see as many mobile suits on Odessa Day. We saw a bunch of, like, large military crafts.
Right.
And platforms and stuff, weapons platforms. But I think this is the most, like, the largest fighting force we've seen fielded by...
Yeah, it is. And yes,
Zeon?
Yes. Largest individual things, we did, strictly speaking, we're not sure how big Odessa Day was, visually.
Yeah, they showed it in wide shots.
Yeah, it was big wide shots, and, like, we were mostly seeing these giant, essentially, land battleships.
Yeah. Big as I am.
Yeah, almost. But, like, it was those big, like... I mean, you remember those. Those basically look like oil rigs with treads.
Yeah.
And these fuckers were what was fighting. So we never got to see what the individual was like in that battle.
Right.
I assume there was probably more there. But yeah, no, in terms of individually animated beings, this takes the cake. And Char is presumably in the doghouse. Yeah. And he's just like, hey, can I get some? And they're like, yeah. Bam. Boy, does he get fucking some. Yeah. And people are apologizing for it. It's wild. Anyway, so...
We cut to the white base. We see four flares.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They all go to their battle stations. And one of the guys just says, oh, three of those are fake.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Like, it seems like whatever message was needed was received. But, oh, we also get a shot of the white base crew, like, getting in jeeps and shit and going.
Oh my god. Oh my god, this is so frustrating.
I also noticed, like, when Bright and Mirai leave, they're told to go on level 2 alert. And then they get closer, and Amuro's like, we got raised to level 1 alert. And they're all in jeeps going to white base.
Talking. There's a bit, I don't know if it's right here or a little bit later, where Bright is talking to Woody, mm-hmm. who is stationary mm-hmm. somewhere, mm-hmm. and they're talking at normal volume towards each other mm-hmm. as Bright drives by, apparently, in this fucking Jeep.
The acoustics in Jaburo are great.
It's apparently, because it's not like, hey, where did this? Oh, level 3, okay, bye. It's like, oh, we're going into this thing and this thing, and then we got to level 2 and something. He's like, okay, well, I need you to do this and this and that and this and this and that. And he's like, okay, well, if you want me to do that, I'll do this. And it's like, okay, good. What the fuck? The fuck just happened? Stop the goddamn Jeep and talk.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't have any sense. Commercial break. There we go.
We don't have to do plugs today.
Well, I'm going to plug one anyway, because, of course. Last time we talked vaguely about Interstitial, hey, it's back now and better than ever with an actual launched Kickstarter as of the time of this recording, and I'm going to guess it's going to be in its last week by the time this recording goes up.
Yeah, I think it'll be about to end when this comes out.
Yes.
So go check out Interstitial. It's already hit its goal.
Yes.
It's already funded. It's already hit a couple stretch goals.
Yeah, it's legitimately a very interesting game. I like it a lot, actually. Riley gave me like a pre-release copy, and
Let's see how it is. It's fine.
I read through it, and it's really interesting because, like, a lot of PBTA games like to play with a particular system, and Riley's, because it's a Kingdom Hearts game, focuses a lot on ties and inter-character bonds, and it's really interesting how that develops in this game. On the point of game design, it's a really interesting game, and I'd recommend it for that alone.
Yep.
I already threw $40 at him, so go throw money at my friend. Also, if any, I'm just saying, like, if someone gets $400 together to get their OC in, I'm just saying, fucking Doom Guy would be hilarious.
Degwin Zabi's
Degwin Zabi's monster, Degwin Zabi as a concept, as a character that Riley puts in, would be wild. there is that little note there about not being, like, problematic, and I feel like
Space Hitler's Monster Dong is def. Oh, right, yeah.
Space Hitler. quick reminder. Space Hitler. Well, I guess
all of the art in Interstitial is by Shannon Maynard.
Yes.
Who is a very good artist that you should all check out on Twitter anyway. So it's going to be good.
It's good shit, that good shit. Okay emoji, 100 emoji.
And I think he's releasing physical copies through Drive-Thru, so production is going to be taken care of. He's not going to have trouble with manufacturers and shipping stuff. It's print on demand. But
we do have a
review. You don't have to hear about my plugs, Witch Scouts and Cerebros, or Fuzzies.
Grimdorks.
Grimdorks.
God, I need
Because a person named Casval Daykun, but painted gold, which I don't...
It's not a reference you get yet, but you will.
Okay. And the title is, Could This Podcast Be an Enemy Spy Aboard White Base? 5 stars. Fuck off! I am Fetty. Fetty for life, motherfuckers.
I mean, ideologically, yes, but the fashion, though. you can't have fascist without fashion.
This Casval Daykun, but painted gold, asks if we are aware of the Andrew WK Japan-only cover album for Gundam 0079, and says it's good, and I'll tell you, I was here speaking via text with Fuzzy when he discovered the Andrew WK Gundam album, and I watched a man die in real time.
Yes.
Just from aneurysms.
Yeah, it's good shit. I like it a lot. We do know.
We're very aware. We thought about trying to steal it for the intro and outro music on our on this. Decided we didn't want to fight Andrew WK. So.
No, he'd win. Both
probably. He's a large man.
Yes, yeah. That too.
With a lot of energy.
Yeah, God, I think he could just wear me out. Honestly,
yeah, he could just party us to death.
What a way to go. Fucking Slurs, I'm gonna,
McKenzie.
The battle, it's not a legal battle, it's a party battle. Oh god.
Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you
for your 5-star review. The rest of you, please, we need more reviews. need more reviews. I was thinking, you know what? I'll keep that for off the air. Need more reviews. Need more reviews. So come back.
Yes.
Shout.
And the gauze just fire a little fuckload of missiles. Just a lot.
Just
of
so many fucking missiles.
So many fucking missiles. God, it's an uncountable number of missiles.
They deforest this fucking rainforest.
Yeah, fuck the Amazon. Fuck it. Boom.
Fuck all these natural habitats.
Fuck these war monkeys.
As hell. We fucked up all of Australia. You think we give a fuck about the Amazon? Go fuck yourself. Space for the space noids and no Earth for anybody.
So, after they destroy the Amazon forever, the crew manages to get back to White Base. Jaburo starts its AA defenses, launches a bunch of yellow planes that look way more like normal fucking planes.
Yeah, at least they're not backwards propeller planes.
Yeah, honestly, we don't get a real good look at them, or at least I didn't pause it.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah, there's a lot happening all at once. I'm going to see if I can find the plane just by Googling Earth plane. Yeah,
I'll vamp. So there's a firefight. White Base can't launch, so they're going to be like, oh yeah, Frog gets on the comms.
Yes.
And Bright orders the crew to their suits. We're going to get Kai in the gun cannon and Hayato in the gun tank and Sayla and Amuro are going to launch in the G-Bull, which is...
bad.
It's not good. It's not good.
It's fucking atrocious.
It's not... Stop trying to make G-parts work.
It's...
Let her have her G-fighter. Let him have the Gundam. They can work together. He can strap that shit on like a jetpack sometimes. But...
yeah, it's...
chill.
Fucking god-awful.
Green, the look, y'all peaked early. The best combination is Green Goblining that shit. Like, that's fucking hilarious. Please do that.
For the record, those planes are called Fly Mantas.
I love them now.
Yeah. They got an interesting little snub nose thing going on. I kind of dig them. You don't get a good shot of them, really, during the show as they're launching, despite the fact you get a lot of shots of them, because they are...
yeah.
A lot of them are coming out at once.
Oh yeah, I like that. They look kind of... They're in the same vein as other Fetty airships. Not like the Core Fighter, but like... I guess not. I guess they... I don't know why I'm thinking they look... I guess they look familiar because I watched this fucking episode.
Okay, real...
never mind.
Real quick fucking sidebar here. So, the only listed named pilot for this aircraft is a man with a hell of a name, and I'll get to it in a second, who only appears in a side card game, and he apparently gets, like, the Fetty Medal of Honor for shooting 34 enemies down during Odessa Day. And
Jesus.
By the end of the war, his personal tally was 301. And
what the fuck?
And after
why isn't he the main character?
And after the war, he has an autobiography called Knight of the Sky, and it's a bestseller. And his name is Texan Dimitri.
Oh my god.
His name is Texan Dimitri.
Y'all, have I mentioned Gundam is a good fucking anime? Also, Texan Dimitri is the new mascot of this podcast.
Texan Lady Killer Dimitri. I'm sorry, Declan
Zombie's Monster Dumb. just a fucking southern Russian.
Fuck.
Anyways,
so,
we can't sidebar too much.
So, just know, somewhere right now, in
Texan Dimitri
during this episode, Texan Dimitri is either getting fucked or fucking up an enemy aircraft, and that's the two modes he has.
I just got to the note about the G-Bull, which is just this bullshit is god, it's so bad.
Yeah, I didn't actually write down what the G-Bull looks like because imagine a centaur. I have a very specific thing. So you know how a centaur is half a man on top of most of a horse, really?
Yeah.
Imagine if you took half a man and shoved it up a horse's ass. And that's what the G-bull is.
Yes.
Because it's the front half of both things. It's the front half of both things. Why?
And then just a bunch of guns pointing forward.
Why?
This thing's so terrible.
Oh man. God. I'm so angry. But
okay, sad. Okay, wait, you any more angry? Because Amuro is like, hey, let's get out on the front line. And Sayla looks over and says, oh shit, they have more Gundams.
Yeah. So Sayla, like, looks over to see, oh, is that a Gundam? And Amuro just nonchalantly is like, oh no, it's not a Gundam. It's called a GM, and it's the new...
He also doesn't say GM in the English. He calls them Jims.
Yeah, for some reason they're called Jims in the English dub, and it's knowledge I try to forget, but they're called Jims in the...
Just Jim. You know, your pal.
Why?
Why are they called
Jim?
What do you...
Why?
Why are they called yourself?
Jim? Why are they called Jim?
Because of GM...
Jim. No, that's not how you would pronounce that at all. You'd pronounce that gum.
No, because G, the J, I say GIF. I don't say GIF. I say GIF.
Exactly. Like,
okay, it's a gum.
Like, I'll take gum.
It's a gum.
If you want to call it a gum, sure.
Also, I'd like to say, oh, the gums are attacking. Yeah, that'd be great. Never mind. This is bullshit.
The gyms are attacking?
The gums.
The gyms! Look upon the horizon, for a horde of gyms is here.
It's a bunch of middle managers.
God, so many guys who manage a fucking McDonald's. I'm sorry for any gyms out there. Unless you also manage a McDonald's, in which case, called it.
Fuck you. So you want to describe, you said you have a note here saying you would like to explain, educate us.
I'll be brief, because time, but long story short,
I'll be Chris.
Anyway. Anyway, so in the manga, way more like pomp and secrecy is devoted to the GMs. Earlier on, we see some Zeon guys almost like find Jaburo, and then all of a sudden a GM's head appears in front of them, and it's implied that the GM just fucking hand crushes them. Like, doesn't he manually kill them, or doesn't like laser blast them, just womp. It's terrifying when originally shown, and later on they don't break the GMs out for quite a while into the fight of Jaburo. It isn't until they get inside Jaburo, which in the manga they combine next episode and this one, it all kind of happens at once.
Yeah,
which works better, honestly. But during this, White Base knows nothing about the GMs, and the GMs don't get broken out till not only has Char broken in from the bottom, but the top is broken into as well. And so White Base is well in true, or Jaburo is about to get fucked. They also do some other things, and I'll tell you next episode which elements they bring in, including the kids being MVPs. Because let me tell you, both in the manga and next episode, those three kids earn their fucking bread, I will admit.
Nice.
They earn that bread. So, and risk life and limb to do it.
Yep.
So, the GM's finally getting broken out. You also get introduced in the manga, we also get introduced to, like, this crew of five, and it's a real Rainbow Connection group. In terms of, like, where they're all from and shit. But it's five pilot dudes who all got selected to be GM pilots. And we meet them, they go to their fucking things, they come out, they kick ass too, and, like, we get shown that the GM is a turning point in the war. Whereas here, they're just Fetty Zakus.
Yeah, they show up and get clowned on.
Super clowned on. Despite the fact that they do turn the war, because, hey, the Fetties have a fucking mass production suit now, holy shit.
Also, I wanna say, I don't wanna get too into it, because we're running short on time already, but we'll talk about it more the next time they show up. I just wanna go on the record saying, apparently I'm just a fucking slut for some jobber mechs, because I fucking love these things.
It's got a really good design. GMs, I think, are masterful. Like, the GM, the Gundam, and the Zaku 2 are the best fucking suits ever made! And Big O may be hot shit. Fucking Votoms may be good shit. Fucking Mazinger Z may be good shit. Nobody tops those fucking three. They're not even my favorite three suits, personally.
At best, you could power bottom them.
Yes, but functionally, design-wise, what they do in the story, how their design affects the themes of the war and the factions that they belong to. Fucking chef kiss. I am gesticulating wildly. The GM is a good boy and continues to be a good boy after this point.
But you know who else is good boys?
Chaboy.
Outside, we see some good goofs. Some good Zakus.
It's at this stage that we get the gauze opening up their big eggplant asses and just
shitting out some very expensive
A lot of war gear.
Most of whom get shot on the way down?
A good portion of them do, yes. hey kids, good AA defense. It works.
Yeah.
Char gets in with his Zagok and his team, and they like wait for the last second to like jump down and into the water directly. As he jumps, one of them gets taken out. Like, literally, one of the Zagoks gets taken out on the way down, which...
Yeah.
Honestly, now that I think about it, you know what the only major note in... the major difference between this and this fight functionally in the manga versus this is? In the manga, we get shots of GMs firing those shots. That's fucking it.
Let GMs be cool.
That's all they needed. Like, a little bit of money. Just a little bit to do some shots of GMs pulling the trigger. And this scene would have edified why this is hot shit. Why GMs are a turning point in the show and the war. But instead, we just hear about it later. Anyway.
We see the second Zagok gets taken out, in the water. And, I looked away for a moment and looked back, and it was during the explosion animation, and the Zagok was red, and I'm like, did Char just get fucking...
Did Char get jobbed while I looked away? No.
And then it cut to him in the cockpit, and he's like, chill. He's just like, oh no, and I'm like, oh no, it's an understatement, you're dying!
Yeah.
oh no. No, he...
big mood, honestly.
Oh no.
That funky wah-wah, that synthy battle song plays, but I only just noticed that there's some funky bass in the back. It's actually real primo. It's got a crunchy bass line in the back. We see Fetty pilots earn their pay and shoot down a bunch of suits, the airplanes, including another different Zagok, Char... dives in the water. We see the other one get taken out.
Chris panics.
Now we cut to the generals, and they say, okay, 28 suits dropped. White Base was super followed, and fuck White Base. We hate him. Why? We don't go into it in this scene.
Nope.
We cut to Amuro, who... All of White Base is guarding the entrance, it seems. And Amuro is just, like, doing that... Like, literally, he has his hands in his lap, his fingers crossed, and he's just, like, got nervous energy. Which is...
he's excited to kill.
Which, again, is one of these weird scenes... I didn't notice it till you pointed it out. But, yeah, why does this scene exist when everything else is so rushed? Because it's a solid 30 seconds of Amuro being nervous, and that's about it. Pretty much everyone except Hayato gets a scene. I don't know why Hayato gets the short end of the stick. Where they all are like, I'm restless and mad and want to kill some Zeons for one reason or another. Man, do they ever have, like, a name for Zeons that it's like, you know, we had Kraut or, God, what was the British one? No, the British one was Kraut. What was the American one for what they called Germans? I forget.
Oh, I thought we called them Krauts.
I think both call them Krauts.
Nazis.
Nazis. I seem to recall there was another name for him, too. But shit like that.
Yeah. There should have been a derogatory name for these space fascists.
Yeah, we need a derogatory name for all of our fascists.
I think fascist is a pretty good one.
Some of them take pride in that.
Fuck, you're right.
And we need to use language to educate them why they're wrong.
Yes.
By belittling them.
Or punch them.
And punch them. So
Char finds his Gok team.
Yes, Char finds the Zok team with the two Gogs and fucking taps the Zok on the shoulder and is like, hey, what's up?
What's up? I'm here. I made it.
They have a brief conversation, and so Char decides to take the Zok guy and go in a side entrance where the two Gogs go in the front. This is, we learn, where White Base is. So Char and the Zok go around, pop another hole in. The Gogs blow a hole in the side, and Woody hears these explosions and goes, I'm not fucking letting anyone touch White Base.
We go, Zelda would hate me forever in the afterlife.
I guess. So, we cut to Hayato firing on the Gogs who are coming through the opening they just blew. I also just noticed that the fucking tunnel doesn't start flooding. Hey, they're underwater. I just noticed that that's not an issue.
Minovsky particles. Minovsky
particles. So the Minovsky particles make a force field that is not impenetrable by mobile suits, but will stop water.
It's the same technology for, like, waterproof undies.
Just, if we had time, I would do another 30 seconds of silence joke, but I don't have that kind of time. So... Kai earns his bread today, and
Kai does a lot of murders.
He does do a lot of murder. He manages to get a Gog goes for a headbutt, and fucking Kai does the full length shot all the way through the fucker, explodes him immediately. Good fucking shot, Kai. Gold star. Fucking, we'll carve that into the side of the gun cannon.
proud of you.
It's always kind of wild to me, like, fighter pilots put on all of their, like, kills, right? On their thing, usually. Usually on the outside, too, where it's like, okay,
something like that.
Four tanks, 18 dudes, whatever. Kind of fucked up when you think about it. Like, I had never thought about it until this very moment of, like, yes, these are the number of individual human beings I have slaughtered. With my giant robot. With my big giant robot.
Giant fight bot. Speaking of big giant robots.
And murder. And we murder. Decide that the G-Bull is dumb. And
yeah. Have we seen... I may have missed it. Have we seen it do fucking anything?
It shoots once, and that's it.
Why do they do that? Why do they fucking do this to us? Tomino,
why'd you do this?
Why?
Who convinced you to do... Well, actually, I know who convinced you. I do have an answer.
The toy companies?
Yeah. Yes. The toy companies thought mobile armors would sell better. And so Tomino made the G-Bull and all that so that a new toy could be sold.
Configurations.
Yes. Of course... And, of course, the way you do it, right, is, and if I had all of the parts, the thing I gave Sid actually could do this, where, like, that the G-Unit and the Gundam are able to combine. I think yeah. I think that Gundam's at a different scale. Like, you need a slightly bigger Gundam to go with that particular G unit I have, but yeah. like, or that I gave Sid. But yeah, yeah, no, you could do that. Good toy design, terrible in this show.
Yeah, but they so, and they agree with us and they separate.
Yeah, Amuro is also pretty sure that it's Char is here, but he
it's
hasn't.
A red,
call-
it's a red.
It's a red Zagok.
It's moving very, very fast.
Yeah. So, the G-Bull shoots once at the Zok, who just eats it. The Gundam and splits with the B-parts. Woody gets in a hovercraft and charges in, despite the fact all of his friends are dying. It's super ineffective, and Amuro goes, "Hey, you should leave, it's super ineffective." And then he spots that it's Woody, and he's like, "Oh no, a crazy man's in there." shit, that guy will fight and die. Amuro then spots the red Zagok and is like, "That's fucking Char!
Oh shit!
That's red!
It's the boy!
It's the boy!" A GM fucking runs in and Char, one of the coolest shots in the fucking show. Despite yeah. the reuse of animation several times of a profile shot of the Zagok running.
Yeah.
Like, they reuse that animation thrice. But,
look, man, they gotta save a lot of money for potato heads.
Yeah.
And doctors to check teeth.
Clearly. Fucking weird. Char just does this, like, sliding stab with one of the Zagok claws. Fucking Kalima's this GM. It's real cool looking. And one of the most iconic shots of the show. That's one of your t-shirts. So, Char slays that dude, and then locks Mono Eye to Gundam Eye, and we just get that fucking High Noon shit, man. Yeah. It really is.
That force field that won't let the water in lets in a breeze. So
a tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed goes by, their serapes flap in the wind.
Yep.
They both have serapes now. Char's is red.
Tequila Gundam? I don't actually know what a serape is.
Serape is a poncho, basically.
Oh, okay, then yes, I was right with my Tequila Gundam pull. Go ahead, Google Tequila Gundam. I dare you. I won't wait, but I will be excited when you go, "Oh, come on," in like 20 seconds.
Yeah, so, I'm not going to do it right now. I'll do it after the show.
All right. So... I gotta say, the following shot is so fucking cool. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah, so, I see that you've written it in all caps.
Yes, so they have, like, it's a solid 20 seconds of standoff. Like, the screen goes black except for their suits. They slowly, like, pan through that circle. Fucking Amuro's got gun in one hand but isn't aiming yet. And Amuro pulls the gun first. Char jumps immediately up and at. Amuro misses the first shot, and Char fucking takes a swipe at him. Amuro dodges, but Char is, like, on Amuro's shield, so Amuro pushes him off. Char uses, fun fact, the palm of the Zagok claws is a gun. So Char attempts a shot, which Amuro blocks with the shield that he also throws into the air. The shield blocks the shot, but then Amuro takes the beam rifle and shoots through his own shield at Char, and we get like a real wide shot of this going down, and he misses Char but barely, and Char's like, "Oh fuck, that was good, that was really good."
Yeah.
Like, he's visibly hashtag shook by that Amuro got this good. Because keep in mind, he hasn't fought Amuro in 10 episodes.
Amuro's gone through the TriStars and our dad. and like, I'm just saying,
everyone's
he's been working.
Really. Yeah, he's fucking put in that time and is also... he got Ace two more times and also yes, he is a fucking... psychic. It's at this point that Woody starts shooting at Char, and Char is just like, eh. And one pumps it by just swiping it out of the air. And, like, literally, I cannot emphasize how nonsensically Woody dies here, because it's... Char takes out that hovercraft the way you and I would take out a fly.
Yeah,
like, it's... really and truly.
Woody should have known better.
Yes. Amuro immediately recalls this hypothetical wedding scene between Woody and Matilda. And Woody does, to his credit, manage to pull the trigger and take out Char's mono eye. So he did do something. Woody did not die... Well, no. Woody died a senseless death, but it didn't have... It had its effects. Char calls the Zoc driver, I forget the name, for backup.
Grabs Lom.
He's sure. Scorponok. Wait.
Grab Zoc.
Grop.
Grop? Grop. Grop 2. Grop 2. Zaku 1.
Shit! It's like a really long name. That's all I remember. Like, I distinctly remember it being like 8 syllables. I'm like, Jesus!
No, I'm not. Fuck that one.
The Zoc guy quickly answers the call until Amuro. Yeah. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, think back, Chris. I'm not exaggerating. Amuro jumps into the air, catches stalagmite, what the top down one. The ceiling hangy cave thing. Man, that felt dumb to say. Stalactite. Grabs a stalactite, fucking kicks off of it, spins around, lands, and hip fires the Zoc right through the cockpit. So, yep. Amuro Ray, in the year of our Lord, Universal Century 0079, took a Gundam and 360 no-scoped another man to actual death.
Yep.
Fucking, if that doesn't earn you the Medal of Honor, I don't know what does.
It just goes to prove that, like, don't play shooters with children. They'll fuck you up.
Yeah. Fucking, that 360 no-scope? That's 3 hours of Fortnite right there. I hate that reference, and I wish I could strike it from the metaphysical record more so than the podcast. Yeah, that's definitely on the, like, if I write a note to past me, like, don't make this joke at 6:09 p.m. on July the 17th, 2018. You'll be tempted? Don't. Dating the episode! So, he tries to chase Char down.
Stay under an hour and a half anyways.
Yeah, so he tries to chase Char down, and, but Char manages to dive in the water and escapes. Frog calls Amuro.
Because he's painted red.
Because he's painted red. Faster. It's like a minnow.
Yeah.
Frog calls Amuro and tells him Jabro is saved, all that jazz, but that the damage was severe. Back on White Base, Bright learns Woody died. Mirai notes dudes go kind of wild sometimes about their emotions.
And she's kind of into it.
She's kind of into it, too. Like, it's really weird, honestly. I'm just like, yeah, dudes get, like, really into their emotions sometimes and will do stupid shit. And she's like, man, those men, they sure are hot-blooded. Sayla has a look on her face of just like, I swear to God, I'm gonna sleep with women after this point exclusively. These fucking idiots. And again, that's also Sayla's face most of the time.
Right. I think Mariah's just, she's been stressed out a lot, hasn't had time to take care of things. Maybe she's not thinking straight.
I'm not kidding when I say to you that this weird throwaway line about Mariah's dad is an integral plot point going forward.
I hope it doesn't relate to her being sexually frustrated, Fuzzy, because that's what we're talking about right now.
I mean, loosely. But, it's not because she's sexually attracted to her dad, it's because of another reason. It'll make more sense when I fucking talk to you. It'll make more sense, but first we have to get all the way back into space.
Yeah.
So,
Amuro drops some news.
Yeah, Amuro goes, that Red Zagok was definitely Char.
Bright's, I didn't, like, see him, but I fucking know.
Yeah. Sayla hears this and drops her Coca-Cola or whatever that glass beverage was. Just slow-mo drops at this knowledge. And we get a slow pan to a scene of the Amazon smoking from the fires of the battle as the song swells and the episode ends. Man, this is a good fucking episode.
It was a good episode.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have killed Woody immediately and in another craft.
Yeah, he honestly could have survived till next episode.
And our gums could have done something.
Yeah.
Or at least been given some fanfare.
Yeah. Like, they're really just kind of broken. Yeah. They're just
kind of. Amuro's not even fucking excited about it.
Yeah. Like, I get also that this is. It's an animated show from 1979. It's. Like, they only had so much budget, and for this much high. And they had to do everything by hand. So this much high action is a lot of work as it stands. Yeah. So I begrudge it, but not that bad. They had to animate, like,
17,000 fucking mobile suits.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, all in all, I'm frustrated, but it's fine, and I get it. This is very much a sign of the times thing, and I'm fairly certain that, like, it'll get more fanfare next time. I wouldn't be surprised if when they go at it again in, not Double O, the other one. Age? No, not Age.
Zeta?
No. They basically remake this anime, but with all the names change and a slightly different setup, but they use all the same mobile suits again for some reason? Not even. They also changed the main Gundam. But for the most part, everything else is almost exactly the same. Like,
Do we have to watch that one too?
Yes, it's an animated show. I don't. They do change other elements, and, like, I think the Gundam has a super mode in that, because they got a boner for super modes after the 90s. But, God, I wish. Is it Age? I think it might be Age.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I think they do that later, where, like, when the GM shows up again, it's a little bit more like, huh, look at this. But then that show was also made in the 2000s, where we had this magical thing that came around that was significantly made animation a lot easier. Computer.
Computers.
I'm a computer. Gundam Seed! That was it, not Age. Gundam Seed. But yeah. This episode.
Yeah.
Very important. Very good. Still, man, fucking that quality picked up a lot after episode 25, yeah. Didn't it?
Yeah. I'm really liking the direction we're going.
Yes. Yeah. It maintains this quality fucking pretty much the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And shockingly, more characters get introduced.
And then murdered as soon as I like them.
Next episode! Another cave fight! The children earn their fucking food. And also literally do something good enough to make me stop complaining about them for the rest of the show.
I'm withholding judgment on this one until I see it.
Yeah. Char and Sayla say hi again. Reminder, they are siblings. Next time on Mobile Suit Gundam, A Wish for War Orphans. Will you be able to survive?
Amuro!
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 29 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you are new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Until next time, mech fans, remember, it's literally just the paint I've been lying to you all along.